I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
From the focus group that brought you The Bucket List comes the heartwarming story of two men.
I don't like you. You have no earthly soul.
With nothing left to lose and no time left not to lose it.
I'm going to die soon. So it has been foretold. I don't feel like I've even lived yet. You know, white man, my master told me make bucket list. Things I want do before you kick the bucket. My organs are put bucket for sacrifice to angry gods. Let's do it!
Join Jack Nicholson.
I'm not sure I should smoke this.
And rising star Buluk Chabtan.
Why they call these Philly cheesesteaks?
As they make the most of our last days in the Mayan Bucket List. Watch them make a pyramid out of sacrificial skulls.
Whoa.
Yell fire in a crowded gun shop.
Fire!
Out the president of Uganda.
Out!
Enjoy maize on the cob.
A little butter.
Get a body wax.
Ooh.
Skydive. Reconnect with an estranged daughter.
Never really liked you.
Built an intergalactic spirit transfer machine. Count icebergs.
One, two,
and so much more.
Next, I want my new calendar.
The Mayan Bucket List. The last Hollywood hit you'll ever see.
You can't handle next year.
We take you now to Federal Hall, New York City, in the year 1789.
So that's our First Amendment to the Constitution, allowing homophobic extremists to harass people at military funerals. What's next?
The Second Amendment, the right of any person at any time to own any weapon whatsoever.
Mr. Speaker, we just had revolution precisely so that someday anyone who walks into a college or movie theater or mall food court or Amish schoolhouse or even a kindergarten could possess the most state-of-the-art military hardware and quickly kill innocent strangers in truly massive numbers.
Well, obviously, we all want to make that possible. But what about convicted felons buying guns?
The law may require background checks, but demented psychopaths can still buy whatever they want at a gun show.
That is the original intent of we, the Founding Fathers.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Mr. Speaker, I do raise a concern. This amendment may expose the true intent of our new nation.
You mean to design a government specifically for the killing of children?
You'd be surprised how many people are not altogether on board with that.
So if we want to make sure demented imbeciles can always get a hold of fast and portable firearms, and obviously that's why we're all here.
Oh, yes, yes. certainly is.
Then we need sacrifice other proposed amendments. Just for appearance's sake.
But we already rewrote the Declaration of Independence, so it didn't say life, liberty, and the seared flesh of boys.
Even so, look at our proposed 11th Amendment, and I quote, "If there be habits that will make the environment unlivable for future generations, Congress shall stand by with their thumb up their posterior and pretend everything is copacetic." Unquote. Maybe we should drop that one.
Or how about the 12th Amendment? And I quote, "Children whose parents go away to jail on drug charges should consider selling their bodies to privateers." Unquote.
Yes. Well, we'll sacrifice those two for now so we can get away with the gun thing.
But how will people otherwise know those were our original intent?
I believe over time, intelligent people shall divine and share in the Founding Fathers' violent hatred of children. Let's just move on to the Fourth Amendment, the right against unreasonable search and seizure. Everyone knows that's supposed to be sarcastic, right?
Well, yeah.
Good.
Yes, come on.
torn from a world of tyrants beneath this western sky. We formed a new dominion, a land of liberty. The world shall own, we're masters here, then hasten on the day. Huzzah, 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 huzzah for free America.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
A message from Instagram.
Thousands of people have contacted Instagram recently because their pictures may legally turn up in advertising. Users who are concerned about this should be assured on one crucial point. Your pictures are not that attractive. Seriously, the odds are pretty good. The group photo of your incompetent softball team and your drunken self-portraiture at the Cherry Hill TGI Fridays are probably not showing up in any promotional material. For example, Mr. Vance Peterson of Binghamton, New York said he quit our service to preserve his privacy. Mr. Peterson, if it's any comfort, we at Instagram have decided you have an utterly forgettable set of features. For a while there, we thought perhaps all your pictures were just out of focus. But no, that's just you. And to Mrs. Myra Softridge, who is concerned about the hundreds of photos of her baby. Mrs. Softridge, we presume your little girl has many delightful qualities that photography does not happen to capture. But rest assured, we will not be using her photos for anything. So don't be scared off by our terms of service. Enjoy Instagram. And as a general note, please stop taking photos of your penis. We've met our quota.
Welcome once again to the Final Edition's Parallel Universe Theater. Tonight, Hitch in Heaven. The date, irrelevant. The time, forever. The place, certainly not this plane of being. One of the Final Edition's non-American idols was Christopher Hitchens, who died of esophageal cancer 1 year ago on December 15th, 2011. Hitchens, an atheist and author of the massive bestseller God Is Not Great, did not believe in the afterlife. Well, the Final Edition Radio Hour has a scoop. Thanks to the staggering technological innovation of Virgin Celebrity Channeling, a division of Virgin Space Time, our Pepper Lewis has managed to locate and contact Christopher Hitchens.
Hello, Mr. Hitchens.
Oh, you startled me. Where did you spring from?
I'm here courtesy of Virgin Celebrity Channeling, a division of Virgin Space Time.
Branson always was a plutocrat with more hair than humility.
Are you surprised to find yourself on the other side, alive and well?
Dead and well, perhaps. I suppose on the principle that if one part of an intellectual construct is true, others may be too. This probably means I shall be here for a very long time.
You're a long time dead.
Not so. I expired in Houston, and a few minutes later arrived here after some rather tawdry special effects.
Such as?
Oh, the predictable warp speed plunge down a blindingly white birth canal. However, one advantage to this ludicrous state of being is that I can drink and smoke to my heart's content.
No esophageal cancer in heaven.
Indeed. I no longer have an esophagus, or heart. And while this is hardly heaven in the generally accepted sense, there appears to be an unlimited supply of my preferred smokes, and an actual fountain, with nymphs, of Johnny Walker Black Label.
So has this experience changed your mind at all about the supernatural?
Obviously, I was wrong about nymphs.
Any virgins?
Only Mother Teresa.
Oh, that must be awkward, considering your attacks on her.
It's quite fun to watch the old fraud wandering around frantically trying to find some dying poor people. The other day she went up to Gandhi and asked if he'd like a bowl of gruel. He struck her in the headgear with his staff.
I thought Gandhi espoused nonviolence.
Like most saints, she brings out the worst in people.
So, is this heaven? It doesn't look very heavenly, more like, well, Central Long Island.
It doesn't conform to any of the fairy stories told by organized religion. No warbling choirs of seraphim and cherubim. No individual stars for Latter-day Saints. No batches of 77 virgins per Muslim fanatic.
Does the afterlife have Muslims as well as Christians?
Crawling with them. Chap over there, for instance. The Prophet Muhammad.
The scrawny little guy having his photo taken?
Puny physique, maybe, but enormous ego. He has photos taken with anyone. Mary Queen of Scots, George Burns, Lao Tse, an Andrew sister, Messalina, Burt Reynolds' Uncle Sid, Richard Lionheart, Mamie Eisenhower, Ataturk, Patrick Swayze. Then he puts them all on Shutterfly.
Wow, the afterlife has internet?
Yes, except it's called the Eterninet.
I thought Islam forbids images of the Prophet.
Islam does, but Muhammad doesn't. For almost 1,500 years, there have been no likenesses of the founder of a faith that's duped billions of mammals. That enormous ego is hurting.
Maybe the law against images is a good thing. He is kind of homely.
I believe the precise medical term is butt ugly.
I wonder why he was such a ladies' man.
I doubt the ladies had much say in the matter. Cigarette?
I still have lungs. So, the $64,000 question, what about God? Is God still not great?
As far as I can deduce, there's no evidence anywhere of anything godlike or even godish. Hardly surprising. God doesn't exist in the before life. Why should God exist in the afterlife?
Isn't the afterlife itself evidence that God exists?
I don't see why.
Every major religion promises an afterlife as part of God's plan.
In due course, science will explain this appallingly drab place.
If there's an afterlife, isn't it possible major religions are also right about God?
For conversation's sake, let's say it is. From time immemorial, the fraudulent gas bags and egomaniacs who claim to speak for God have insisted that he, she, or it is serious, trustworthy, a dependable final authority, a sort of divine anchorman. I can only conclude that he, she, etc., is, au contraire, an evil, decidedly sadistic clown.
Not the God of love?
Far from it. If an omnipotent God exists, human existence is completely absurd.
Come on, life has its little perks.
Really? What's more absurd than to be brought into existence and be given consciousness of existence and then die? God's most deranged and tasteless joke, death. He, she, or it makes you exist, then a bit later, not exists. One asks, what the fuck is the point?
My Baptist mom would say to earn your eternal reward in heaven.
Piffle. If the guy, gal, or thing upstairs loves us infinitely, why put us through all the misery of being born, getting old, and dying? Why not fast-track us to heaven? Get on with the hallelujahs. In my case, having given the almighty clown a good chuckle by dying in pain over a long period, and looking forward to an equally long period of restful oblivion, why would the sadistic bastard make me start all over again? Probably to die again and wake up again in the afterlife. The God of love? No. The God of laugh.
You're getting faint.
The God thing does not exist. Voltaire and I agree about this.
Our time must be up.
I enjoyed our brief tussle. I'm afraid I won.
Tune in next week for this season's final episode of the Final Edition's Parallel Universe Theater, Equal Time for the God Thing.
She knows she's expecting. She knows she's only engaged. She knows the ball poses. It's absolutely inflexible. She's to be examined and executed by Joseph.
And Lords are leaping.
And the community on the spot. What would be the natural...
Savage wants a swimming
pool. Knew she was going to be killed if her condition became known.
Six geese are laying.
It would be sin. It would be regret. It would be... It would be shame. There would be tears. There would be secrecy. There would be seclusion. She would run and hide and try to save her life. So what did Mary do?
The war, there's just war on Christmas.
She ran, all right. She ran straight to the house.
And Lord's a leaping.
Christmas. There is a war on Christmas. Your aunt is a war on Christmas.
And then all the community would join in.
Secular progressives don't want Christmas because that stands in the way of
at ease, gentlemen.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth. It's like Spinal Tap with minds.
Welcome, one and all, to another session of Alcoholists Unanimous. Hello!
Hello! Hello!
Christmas is upon us again, and all those friends, family members, and relatives who have a rabid, irrational prejudice against alcohol will be on us, too.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt.
Why don't we just share some of the prudes, killjoys, blue noses, and guilt trippers who'll try to make the upcoming holiday season utterly fucking miserable?
All right. Hi, my name is Jim, and I'm an alcoholist.
Yay, Jim!
My mother is descended from pilgrims, and she's a selectman of a Boston village that's still dry. She says children should never even learn about alcohol, let alone see people drinking it. She takes sadistic pleasure in saying to guests, "Oh, we don't serve alcohol in this house, but I do have cocoa water."
My name is Basil, and I'm an alcoholist.
Basil!
My uncle, Righteous Sunflower, never got over Woodstock. Totally stuck in the old 60s. Doper juicer worldview.
Typical.
Oh, boy.
This is a guy who's been reduced to drooling cretinism by a lifetime of marijuana use, but constantly tells me, "Fucking hooch kills all your brain cells, man."
Oh, God. Whatever. Hippies, right?
Whatever. But don't kill the world.
Well, my name is Claire, and I'm an alcoholist.
Yay, Claire! Yeah.
My brother is an evangelical who says alcohol is the devil's brew and God hates it. I point out that the Bible says God created wine to make glad the heart of man and that Jesus drank wine. He says liberals deliberately mistranslated a Hebrew word as wine when it actually means non-alcoholic date juice.
Oh my God. Come out.
What is this?
I'm John, and I'm an alcoholist.
Hey, John!
What's up? So my dad's a doctor who claims alcohol is the main cause of cancer.
What?
And even being around drinkers is dangerous because of secondary fumes.
What? Ridiculous.
Just that.
Unbelievable.
So like at parties, he's always saying stuff to people that are kicking it like, "I hope you're getting regular mammograms."
Oh, come on.
Dudes, my name is Brian, and I'm an alcoholist.
Yay, Brian!
So, dudes, my cousin Chloe is a campus activist at Brown, and she's campaigning to get alcohol banned everywhere on Earth. She says alcohol makes men misogynistic, homicidal monsters. And in an alcohol-free world, there's a 90% reduction in violent crime, war, famine, global warming, and death in general? And that women who drink doom themselves to being lifelong victims of male domination?
She says
she's the most powerful student on campus,
and the
faculty's totally terrified of her.
Brian! We have all met the enemy, and she is Chloe. Now everyone, let's have a moment of reflection and then recite together the 12 steps of guiltless pleasure.
We admitted the power of alcohol, that it made our lives more pleasant and manageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves had provided the means, one day at a time, to restore our sanity. Made a decision to thank God, whoever she or he may be, for this truth. That while life is all about decay, decay produces the substance that keeps decay at bay. made a moral inventory of what God might possibly find wrong in billions of humans over thousands of years, finding solace from the hardship of their labor in a glass or two of fermented fruit. Admitted to God, ourselves, and the bartender the exact nature of our order. We're entirely ready to have God remove all those defective characters who, having been unable to control pleasure in their own lives, now sought to control it in the lives of others. Humbly ask God to remove the enemies of pleasure from our plate, our glass, and our face. Made a list of all the persons harmed down the years by those who consider themselves morally cleansed and gave up because it was far too long. Made amends to such persons wherever possible by sharing with them a bottle of God's greatest earthly gift. Continue to take inventory of the benefits bestowed by alcohol on the arts, cultures, and economies of history's greatest civilizations and gave it up too, because the list was even longer than the one in step 8. Sought through meditation to improve contact with the power that forms the bubbles in the yeast, seeking to know her or his will for us as far as what would go best with the grilled salmon. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we vowed to carry this message to alcoholists everywhere, shamed and intimidated by prigs, prudes, busybodies, and scaremongers, and to practice all these principles in our affairs, especially at lunch. Then, with a happier, healthier heart, we went home for a good night's sleep. Amen!
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Kevin Janis, Rob Gordon, Sharon Spell, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Fred Wickham, Ann Feehan, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. The John Hagee and Friends Old Testament mashup, courtesy of Scooter, of KPFK in Houston. If you like being entertained and possibly laughing, you should visit thefinaledition.com often for more sizzling satire with teeth. In fact, even if you don't like laughing and entertainment, go there anyway. The Final Edition Radio Hour is produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition LLC, copyright 2012.